So, as we gather, sometimes I read our scripture more as, well, more of a backdrop for my message than as the focus of my message. And, well, this is one of those times. I won't actually be referencing it in my message. The important thing here is, the important thing is to listen for where God is found in the scripture. We're going to be reading from the book of 1 Kings. It's one of my all-time favorite Bible stories, actually. Specifically, we'll be entering into the story where the prophet Elijah is fleeing for his life. And after a series of a few things, he ultimately finds himself hidden in a cave. And I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible, as I like to do more and more these days. So hear now these words from 1 Kings. God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of Yahweh, for Yahweh is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks by Yahweh's power. But Yahweh was not in the whirlwind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but Yahweh was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" My message this morning is entitled, "Shh." One of our most important modernist 20th century authors had this to say about silence: "How much better is silence? A cup of coffee, the table. How much better to sit by myself like a solitary seabird that opens its wings on the stake. Let me sit here forever with bare things. This coffee cup, this knife, this fork, things in themselves, myself being myself." The author is Virginia Woolf, and I could not agree with her more. How much better is silence? Now, people who don't know me reasonably well are typically very surprised, and frequently don't even believe me when I say, I'm an introvert. And at times, I'm a pretty severe introvert. So it's not much of a surprise that I, as an introvert, have decided to talk about being quiet. Because frankly, I love being quiet. Now, I also love stories. So, let's start with a story I read a while back on social media. It goes like this. Once a farmer lost a precious watch while working in his farm. And appeared to be an ordinary watch when you looked at it, but it held a sentimental value for him. After searching basically high and low among the hay for a really long time, old farmer got exhausted. But the farmer didn't want to give up his search for his watch, so he requested that a group of children playing outside near the barn help him. He even promised them a reward for the person who can find his beloved watch. Now, after hearing about the reward, the children hurried inside of the barn and went through and around the entire place, stacks of hay, everything, turning everything upside down just to try to find that watch. And after a long time looking for the watch, well, some of the children, they got tired and they just decided they were going to give up.
And slowly but surely, the number of children looking for the watch decreased until basically only a few were looking. And then the farmer himself gave up all hope to finding his watch, and he just called off the search. Well, just as the farmer was about to close the barn door, a little boy came up to him and requested the farmer to give him just one more chance. Well, the farmer didn't want to miss any chance of finding the watch, so he finally decided to let the child into the barn. And after a little while, the little boy came out of the barn with the watch in his hand. Oh, the farmer was happily surprised. He asked how the boy succeeded to get the watch when everyone, including himself, had failed. The boy replied, I just sat there and tried to listen to the ticking of the watch. In silence, it was much easier to listen to it and figure out where to search in the direction of the sound. The story reminds me of something Rumi once said. Listen to silence. It has so much to say. He also tells us the quieter you become, the more you are able to hear. Now, unfortunately, our lives are engulfed in noise. In reality, it's very hard to even escape all of the noise. Even if we are trying to seek out silence, the odds are you won't truly find silence. For instance, if everyone gets very quiet, you still hear the hum of the HVAC system. Now, we're very thankful for that this morning. But you hear the hum of the HVAC. If you're in your office, you're going to hear the whir of a computer, incidental creaks, and other squeaks that you might hear no matter where you are. We live in a world where silence has become increasingly difficult to come by. Writer George Prochnick claims that he has this passion for silence, and he's had it for nearly as long as he can remember, even back in his childhood. In his book, In Pursuit of Silence, Listening for Meaning in a World of Noise, he leaves his home in New York City, and I have to say, we now know why he has a passion for silence living in New York City. And he goes on a quest around the world to find others like him who still value silence. Now, part of what he learned in visiting people and places that value silence is that absolute silence is impossible to find. But what you can find is quiet spaces, quiet moments. And those quiet moments are essential in our lives, both biologically and mentally. And I would add spiritually as well. Now, biologically, Prochnick points out, quote, there's increasing evidence that harm goes across our systems from noise. There's been an association with noise and hearing loss, of course, but there's also new studies just completed that show the danger to our cardiovascular systems. Even when not awake, blood pressure goes up. And hours later, the blood pressure is still elevated from outside noises. Florence Nightingale, the 19th century British nurse and social activist, seemed to have understood the issues with noise and health long before others. She once wrote that unnecessary noise is the most cruel absence of care that can be inflicted on the sick or the well. Nightingale argued that needless sound could cause distress, sleep loss, and alarm for recovering patients. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever spent any time in a hospital, you know that a lot of the folks at the hospital, unfortunately, could really learn her lesson. all the noises that constantly go on. The activity of our modern life puts a significant burden on the prefrontal cortex of the brain. Now, that's important because that's the part of the brain that's most dedicated to high-order thinking, decision-making, problem-solving. Now, speaking of noise, there's a little noise going on in the hallway, and everyone is looking that way, or at least a lot of people. See, noise is disturbing, very disturbing. Now, not surprisingly, that means that our attentional resources resources of our attention regularly become drained in day-to-day life. And when that happens, we become easily distracted, case in point, and mentally fatigued. We struggle to focus, to solve problems, to come up with even new ideas. But according to something that those who study the brain, something that's called attention restoration theory, the brain can restore its cognitive abilities when we put ourselves in environments that have lower levels of sensory input than normal, than our typical experience. Silence is one of the major ways to practice attention restoration theory. Now, I've found this to actually be very true, accidentally, before I even knew those words. Writer's block is something that is really very real and an incredibly frustrating thing. And, you know, when I'm honest about it, it happens most when I have had a particularly long stretch of sensory overload. So, when I'm actually thinking about it, which unfortunately isn't as much of the time as it really needs to be, but when I'm actually thinking about it, I seek out quiet moments. Now, for me, it takes at least 10 minutes, sometimes up to 30 minutes. I just sit in the chair where I am. I reduce the things that are making noise that are around me as much as possible, and I close my eyes gently. Sometimes I practice breathing in and out, deeply, slowly. Sometimes I just let my mind wander, and wander into silence, really. Or let my thoughts just bounce around, or as I call it, I let them bounce around until things start to stick together. I literally cannot tell you the number of times that not only overcame my writer's block, but I also ended up with a rather, what I would call, creative perspective that I'm not sure I would have been capable of before that quiet time. Now, scientists call this quiet time self-generated cognition. It can be meditating, daydreaming, fantasizing about the future, or as I'm prone to do, with my writer's block, letting our minds just kind of quietly wander. And it turns out that when our brains are more quiet and disengaged from external stimulus, we more easily tap into our inner stream of thoughts, emotions, memories, ideas. It helps us make meaning out of our experiences. It helps us to empathize with others, to be more creative, and to reflect on our own mental and emotional states. Ravi Shankar, an Indian musician and composer of Hindustan classical music, once said, "Whether you're aware of them or not, whether you recognize them as spiritual or not, whether you do, you probably have had the experience of silence or transcendence or the divine. A few seconds, a few minutes that seem out of time. A moment when the ordinary looks beautiful, glowing, a deep sense of being at peace, or feeling happy for no reason. When these experiences come, he says, believe in them. They reflect your true nature. Pope John Paul II was reminded of the value of silence as he stood in the midst of nature, saying this: in the oasis of quiet, in this oasis of quiet, before the wonderful spectacle of nature, one easily experiences how profitable silence is. A good that today is ever more rare. And in reality, only in silence does a person succeed in hearing in the depth of his conscience the voice of God, which really makes them free. You know, most spiritual movements have recognized the value of silence. And I believe, in part at least, that's because silence cultivates awareness. Awareness of self, awareness of environment, awareness of others, awareness of our connectedness, and for some of us, awareness of something larger than us. At its core, spirituality is about these kinds of awareness. Intellectually, we can study and observe the importance of each of them. We can make the necessary arguments needed to convince ourselves and possibly even convince others about how important it is to have an awareness of the values of self, environment, others, and our connectedness. But it isn't until we quiet the world around us, all the sensory stimuli, and reach out in our silence, it's not until then that we begin to embody, to take to heart, become somewhat entangled in those realities. American writer, activist, and influential editor, and writer of the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, she reminds us part of why this is true in saying, the temple of our purest thought is silence. Being quiet impacts our physical, our mental, and our spiritual lives more than most people recognize. Perhaps that is why so few, including myself, practice it on a regular basis. And to that I say, let's all be a little quiet. Now, sometimes quiet isn't everything we want. Unless you know a really quiet song, which I hope you don't.
Right. 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
I would love to hear another song if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. My favorite, that's what I was thinking, is now time to do 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
That is a great piece, isn't it?
It is. Where are the cool
Center ourselves and silence ourselves, and get so inclined to bow your heads. May I be well. May I be happy and content. May I be free from danger and suffering. May I be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be happy and content. May you be free from danger and suffering. May you be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be well. May all beings be happy and content. May all beings be free from danger and suffering. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. Amen.